Good to see everybody this morning.
Yes.
Appreciate God's goodness bringing us to His house.
Amen.
On His day.
Yes.
Amen. To worship Him.
Right.
And learn of Him.
Amen.
Be drawn closer to Him. Amen. By Him. Amen. We'll be going to Romans 10. I believe Chris got up through about verse 11 last week. Is that right, Brother Chris? I'm going to read that verse just to set the context. You pray for me. I'd like to finish this little chapter here. If I can, I don't want to get hung up too long on any particular verse, but we'll see what the Lord does. When we get there, we do. If we don't, we don't. But, Brother Dennis, would you pray that the Lord take His word and help us this morning?
Father, we thank you, dear God, for letting us people come back to our house.
Yeah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, our hearts,
the Lord touch it. God be our helper.
I pray God to help
Brother Dennis. Speak to hearts. Yes, Lord, please do that. Yes, God. God grant that. Yes, Lord. Lord, please come.
You'll be coming back 10 years later. Oh, God, help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Verse 11 there in Romans 10 says, the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And what we see here, I like how verse 11 starts, says, for the Scripture saith. Amen, Brother Todd. I could get up here this morning, I could give you opinion. I could tell you I suspect about this or I suspect about that Scripture's silent on. And it really wouldn't be worth much, wouldn't be worth no more than anybody else's opinion. But I'm glad we've got the book.
Yes.
I'm glad we got God's book, Brother Jonathan. It says, the Scripture saith, and we know the Scripture cometh from God, Brother Keith. And I'm glad. That tells me what I'm about to read. I trust.
Right.
I know it's right. Amen. I don't have no grounds for which to question it. I know it's legitimate. And I'm thankful for that. And it says, whosoever believeth on Him. Amen.
Amen.
That's the key. On Him. Amen. It's about Him this morning.
Yes,
says, shall not be ashamed. I'm glad I'm not ashamed of my Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm well satisfied. Amen.
Amen.
With my Savior, Brother Hyatt, this morning.
Yes.
He done for me that what I had no hope of doing for myself. He saved my soul, forgave my sin. Amen.
Right.
Promised me a home one day with Him. I could have done none of that for myself. Amen. And I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
Certainly not ashamed of Him. Amen. Brother Aaron, I go places and a lot of times I'll bring up the conversation. I like talking about Him.
Sure.
Amen. I like talking about His Word. I like talking about the relationship I have with Him and with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And what I have by being a member of the family of God and being in the house of God, and what a blessing all that is to me and to my family. I like that. We went up our to the detention center the other day, and I told Brother Hyde I went in and I had a good little time, had about seven men. But I left, and Brother Hyde wasn't through yet. He was still in the building, so I signed out, went on out, sat in the lobby, and the Lord had two people. One was already sitting there. When they left, another didn't come in, and the Lord opened the door and let me talk to both of them, and I felt like that was the most prosperous portion of the trip that day.
Amen,
I really do. And there was a young man sitting there, and I could tell he was sort of discouraged, and I just introduced myself, started talking to him, and he opened up right away and just started talking to me, and the Lord allowed me, Brother Dennis, just to be able to witness to him about how good God's been to me, and amen, and what a blessing it is when you do right, how God will bless you for it. And then that young man left, and then a young lady come in, she was coming up our my understanding to get her husband out of jail. And she sat down, and the only thing I said, Brother Dennis, I said, "How are you today, ma'am?" And she said, "Oh, it's rough." And before I said anything else, she looked at me and she said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. By the grace of God, I'm trying." And I just asked her, I said, "Could I pray with you?" And she just expressed to me a little bit of her trouble, and the Lord let me pray with her. And she told me she goes to a church here in the area. So God, I just thought that was prosperous. But I'm thankful how God used you. I don't have to be ashamed of him, and I'm not. Amen. It's a thrill to my soul to be able to stand up for him and proclaim him. Amen. Verse 12 says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek." And he says, "And the same Lord over all, and he is Lord over all." Don't matter if you're a sinner or a saint. He's Lord. You don't make him Lord, he is Lord. It's just a matter if you acknowledge him as Lord. That's the difference. That's the only thing we can do. But it says he's rich unto all that call upon him. Amen. No difference. It says no difference between the Jew and the Greek, Brother James. Amen. I like that. Don't make no, what that tells me don't make no difference what country I live in. Amen. If I'll call unto the Lord, he'll be merciful to me.
Right.
He's rich in his mercy and his grace and his love, Brother Aaron. Amen. Don't make no difference what color my skin is.
Right.
Don't make no difference if I'm highly educated or if I'm dumber than a box of rocks in the things of the world. Don't make no difference. Don't matter if I'm tall, short, big, small. Don't matter what I am in the flesh. Amen. What I am in the flesh does not stop nor hinder God. Amen. The key is if I believe on him and call upon him.
Right.
Amen. That gives me access to the throne room of grace, Brother Keith. Amen. My faith in him and the fact that I'll go in his name to the very throne room where God the Father sits, that gives me access to the rich blessings of God.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Don't matter who I am, God's no respecter of persons.
Right.
Amen. He's kind and he's merciful to all that will put their trust in him and call upon him.
Right.
And buddy, I'm thankful for that. Amen. Ain't you this morning?
Yes.
Verse 13, I want to say this. This verse is probably one of the misused verses in the Bible. And I am going to say this. This verse does not teach that if you can get somebody to repeat a sinner's prayer, they're saved.
Right.
That don't, this verse in no way, shape, fashion, or form teaches that.
Right.
Amen. And we're going to read it here. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I say amen to that. That's right. Brother Keith, when the Holy Ghost come by that day down there at that funeral home and troubled your heart, amen, and showed you what you was. Is that right? Amen. And you find yourself later on down the road calling out to the Lord. Amen. And Brother Keith's saved. He's still saved today. Now, I'm not teaching heresy, but Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, we are saved.
Right.
Period.
Right.
But we're being saved every day. Now let me tell you, let me explain it. He's saving me from the power of sin every day.
Right.
Amen. He's not doing a new work. The work's finished. But the work is saving me every day. It will save me to the uttermost. That means all the way to the end.
Right.
Is that right, Brother Hyde?
Yes.
You correct me if I'm wrong.
That's right.
We're being saved as a continual, that's a continual work that God is doing in our life as a result of being regenerated.
Right.
Regeneration is a one-time thing in a split second. You can't even put a clock on it. It's so quick.
Right.
That's what changes us and makes us a new creature in Christ.
Right.
Amen. That moment of regeneration where we pass from death unto life. Amen. We're quickened. Amen.
Sure.
As Ephesians tells us in chapter 2, we become alive spiritually. We're no longer the natural man. We become a spiritual man. Everything else then flows from that. Now, I know the work of God is instantaneously.
Sure.
But God does have order and a process in His mind. It's all instantaneous to us. But God does have an order.
Sure.
When Moses went up, on Mount Sinai and come down with the law and the instructions for the tabernacle and all such as that, God gave him a pattern.
Yes.
He gave him an order. And it had to be done in that order according to that pattern for him to put his blessing on it. Is that right?
Yes.
God was just instructing him and showing Moses and teaching us a lesson as we read the scriptures. It's for our learning. That's for our learning in the Old Testament. And what that teaches us, that God has an order in which He does everything. He has a pattern.
Sure.
He has a way that He works in all manners of life. Amen. And that's just the way God chose to do it. One thing about it for us, Aaron, is we can look at a situation in life and we say, no, that ain't the way God done it. And we know if that's a genuine work of God or not.
Yeah.
He puts His stamp, He puts His mark on it by saying, this is the way I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And if it alters from that, you know that ain't a work of God. That is the purpose for that. It ain't the way, you say you can't put God in a box. I know we can't put God in a box. I wouldn't dare try to put God in a box, but God will not do something contrary to what He says He's going to do. I mean, you have to take both sides of that. We know that God works in mysterious ways sometimes, but He never works contrary to his promise. Is that right?
Right.
But it says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I believe there's two aspects of this. Now, in the proper context of what we're reading right here, this particular passage of Scripture is talking specifically about salvation. Amen. We can go to other portions of Scripture, and we aren't going to have time this morning, wouldn't have time. But this also applies just to the life of a saint.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, if I need to be saved from an illness, and it'd be God's will to touch me. 20 years after I'm saved, Brother Dennis, I can call upon the name of the Lord and He saved me from that. You see what I'm saying? I think one thing, this verse is an assurance verse. Amen?
Yes.
I believe that this verse, and we're going to read on down in context, I believe this verse teaches that if somebody is genuinely saved, they'll have a prayer life.
Yes.
Amen? If you don't have a prayer life, you are missing one of the greatest evidences you could have in your life that you've genuinely been born again.
Yes.
Scripture teaches these things. We'll love the brethren if we're truly saved.
Yes.
Is that right? We'll love to pray. We'll have a prayer life. I mean, certainly if you love the Father and you love the Son of God, you won't talk to Him. I mean, surely. I mean, is that right? Well, we know we'll love and trust the Word of God. There's just certain markers that's evidence. Brother Jonathan, we know that you're Brother Todd's son because there's a lot of things about you that matches up with him. You look a lot like him. A lot of your mannerisms is the same. Why? That's your father. Amen. When we get born again, He starts working on us, Miss Camille, to shape us and form us and make us in the image of His dear Son. He's working on us to make us like Jesus.
Right.
And the longer we've been saved, we ought to be showing some evidences in our life to sort of make us favor Christ.
Sure.
Is that right? And Jesus, His very, very lifeline to the source of power was prayer during His earthly ministry when He was in the flesh.
Yeah.
So surely, we ought to look at that, if nothing else, as an example and say that a prayer life is necessary for a child of God to stay close to God and to do the will of God and to be effective in the work of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Now let's look on down. Verse 14, now here's the key. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Good question. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I'm going to use Brother Key's principle. I've always used it, too, for a long time. I don't know if I used it before he did. Don't matter. He probably used it before I did. He'd been saved longer than me. But I also learned a long time ago there are certain things like a spot here in Scripture that gives you a this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And as like Brother Key said, you can read that backwards, and it can shed light on what that's actually saying. So really, if you want to look at this, we know that God has to send somebody to proclaim the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about salvation. Now, I'm in the book. Look at your Bible. Is that what it said? Let's go down there now. Verse 15 said, how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, who sends them? God. That's the first thing that has to happen. Is that right? Now we got the preacher. He's on the way. Is that right? Back up in verse 14. And how shall they hear without a preacher? He's got to get there and he's got to be obedient to the call of God in his life to proclaim the truth. Amen? So now we got the preacher. He's called. He's saying. He's preaching. Okay? Keep going backwards. Now he's preaching. And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? They've got to hear. Hey, first, God's going to send the man of God. Is that right? Man of God's going to preach.
Yes.
And then they got to hear. And that ain't with the natural ear, Brother Key. We know from other scripture, they've got to hear in here, from on high. They've got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to them.
Yes.
Okay? So that's the next thing that happens. Okay? Then how shall they call on them who they've not believed? That's where we started, ain't it? Uh-oh, wait a minute now. That sort of turns that easy believism stuff upside down his head, don't it? Because they teach you pray to ask God to give you belief. Hey, what the Bible says. It says you got to believe on him before you can call on him. Did we read it? Did I read it wrong?
Well, that's right.
Is that what it says? This is the Word of God. You say, preacher, explain that. I'm going to do my best. Brother Dennis, when the God of heaven touched your heart that night, started working in your heart when you got saved, the man of God was preaching. Is that right?
Amen.
Well, let me ask you a question. Brother Dennis, he wound himself up here at the altar in that church, begging God and crying out to God. Do you think, if he wasn't already believing in some manner in his heart that the one he was calling out to could help him, he'd have got up here and started calling out. If I needed $1 million, I ain't picking on you, Brother James, I'm poor just like you. But if I needed $1 million and I thought I had a friend that could give it to me, I wouldn't come over here and say, James, how about sharing with me and give me one of them $1 million you got stuck back this morning? I wouldn't even ask him, would I? Why? I know he ain't got it. But if I know he had it, and if I believe he cared about me as a friend enough to help me out if I need it, and I walked up to him and said, can I have this, I'd ask him, wouldn't I? Why? Because we got some hope, I got some faith, I got some trust that he can meet my need,
right,
that he can help me.
Right.
I'm not going to call out somebody, Brother Keith, that I ain't got some faith already that can give me what I need. Is that just good common sense?
Sure it is.
And I believe it's Scripture.
Yes. The Bible.
You will believe. Now that faith will get stronger as time goes by.
Yep.
But initially, there has got to be some belief that God's already sparked, that the Holy Spirit's already sparked in that heart that gets you to come when you're drawn and gets you to call out. Amen?
Right.
And I read on, this is me personally. If you don't agree with this, just please forgive me. I love you. I hope you still love me. I don't think it really matters what you say with your mouth. If God's really dealing with you and you're really sincere in your heart, Brother Dennis, all he knows to say was, God, I don't want to go to hell. Now, Brother Dennis' heart was saying a lot more than that day. But that's all he could get his mouth to say. But that don't mean that was all that was going on in his heart. But, boy, I'm thankful. Boy, ain't you thankful, Aaron? The Holy Spirit knows when we ain't got the words.
Amen.
He knows, buddy, and he'll pray for us. Is that right, Brother Dennis?
Amen.
That's even a child of God. There's been times I've been down and I've been going through things, and all I know to do is bow my head, Brother Justin, and weep and just say, God, help me. And he knowed everything that was going on in my heart. He knew what my heart was saying. I couldn't get it from here to here and spit it out. I couldn't get it to come up. But he knew what was in there.
That's right.
Boy, ain't that good.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad it's him, ain't you? See, that's not just if you'll come repeat this prayer, you're guaranteed of being saved. No. That's all in order how God works. Is that right?
Right. Yes.
John 6:44 still says, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me to draw him. God's got to start dealing with a sinner's heart before they'll ever come and ever respond. That's what this is teaching. Is that right? You'll never call out with any sincerity in your heart to God for anything until God starts dealing with your heart and opens your blinded eyes and reveals to you that you have a need. If I just went down to Steakhouse and ate about 3 plates of food, and I don't do that no more, Brother James, but if I did and got up, walked out and sit down in the car, and whoever I was with said, well, wouldn't you like to go to Burger King? At that moment, I'd probably say no. I like Burger King, but not right after I just ate a full meal. So what you pulling? I'm not going to ask for something I don't think I have a need for. But if I've not felt well, and maybe I hadn't really had much of an appetite, and I ain't ate for about 2 days, Brother Jonathan, and now I got up this morning and started feeling pretty good, you said, let's go to Burger King. I'd probably say, let's go. I'd be ready. So that's a world example. Yeah, but I'm trying to give you something. You say, what I'm talking about. God will deal with your heart and reveal to you what you need. And I'll promise you, if it's really God, if it's really the Holy Ghost, Brother High, just like over there, he got in your heart over at the workplace. Amen. When the man of God told you, you must be born again. You started seeking. You started begging. You started desiring him. Why? Because he had already revealed to you what you needed and you wanted it. So, I believe that's right. I believe that's right on that scripture. I really do. And like I said, there's an aspect there, buddy. Whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord, that I believe that's also speaks of assurance.
Yes.
If you've got a prayer life, that's a sign you're truly born again and you will be saved.
Yes.
Amen. I think that says a lot more than a lot of people gives it credit for saying.
Right.
But I also think a lot of people misunderstand what it's saying because they try to take the scripture and make it fit into their preconceivable theology instead of just reading what the scripture says in context, take it for what it's saying.
Yes,
is that right?
Yeah.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Verse 16. And now we sort of turn the page and we're taking a little bit of a different look here. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. What do you mean obeyed the gospel? Did you catch that?
Yeah.
You know, there's two other places in the New Testament where it talks about they did not obey the gospel.
Yes,
so therefore they were condemned.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. What do you mean obey the gospel? The gospel commands you to believe and repent. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, you're not going to do that until the Holy Ghost touches your heart and regenerates you. But that is the command of the gospel. Do you realize the gospel is as much a command as it is an invitation?
Sure.
It really is. You're invited to come to Christ. You're invited to come do it. But there is a command there. Let me give you a good example, Brother Todd. When the Lord Jesus Christ was conducting his earthly ministry, Peter and some of them fishermen is a good example. They's out there working on their boats, mending their nets, doing whatever they's doing. And when the Lord come by and called them, not just into salvation, not just to follow and trust him, but into the ministry. I can't find nowhere in there where it says he stopped and talked to them for 30 minutes, explained to them all the benefits of coming to Christ and praying his prayer, or none of that stuff. He just pointed to him and said, come, follow me. They dropped their nets immediately and just followed him.
Yes, sir.
I can't even find nowhere where they asked him, said, well, what are we following you for?
Right.
They knew. You think God works any different nowadays than he did then? He gave them a simple command.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to obey it. Say, well, what if they stood there and just kept fishing and let him walk on by and rejected him? I guess they'd have been doomed because they what? They didn't obey his command.
Right.
Sinner will not obey the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's an invitation.
Yeah.
But it's also a command.
Yes.
Sinner will not obey the gospel.
Command.
They will not come with a sincere heart and cry out to God that they might be saved and believe upon him and repent, they'll die and perish.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you let nobody tell you, and we've had some famous Baptist preachers down through the last 50, 60 years stand up and say, repentance has nothing to do with salvation. That's a lie and that's heresy.
Right.
I ain't calling no name, but if you know him, you ever heard say that, they're wrong.
Right.
Repenting of your sin does not save you. But if you're truly born again, you will repent and you'll want to.
Right.
Because that's just something God works in your heart.
Yeah.
It don't save you. Now, if they just made a comment that the act of repentance in and of itself does not save nobody, that's right. But to stand up and say repentance has nothing to do with biblical salvation, that's heresy. That's heresy. You say you're playing with words. Well, you know, the way you say things matters. You change one word of sentence, you change the whole meaning of a sentence.
Right.
Is that right? Those that believe, says over here, says those that believe upon him and call upon him shall be saved. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
Is that right? Preacher can't come preach his opinion. He can't get up and preach some man's book that he wrote. Ain't no power in that.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by what? He's got to be preaching the word of God. Pure and simple, just a simple statement. He'd get up, spend 30 minutes reading what C.H. Spurgeon said. And I read a lot of C.H. Spurgeon. I have respect for that man of God. Of course, that's way before my lifetime, but the stuff I've read, he's a good, solid man of God. There's others in the past. I like to read. Why? Just because it sort of helps me. It's like listening to preaching. It's like listening to good Sunday school teaching. I know that ain't the word of God, and I don't consider them infallible, and I don't agree with everything they wrote. But it can help you.
Sure.
There's good men in the past that wrote books that God used them to help us. But when God goes to do that miracle work in a sinner's heart, or when he goes to work in a child of God's heart, he's always going to use the word of God.
Yes.
Mm. Always. God honors his own word.
Sure, yeah.
Is that right? I like what Brother Keith says sometimes. God blesses what he gives.
Yep.
And that's right. He gives us salvation. So therefore we're blessed through salvation.
Right.
Is that right? He grants us repentance. So therefore he blesses repentance.
Sure, sure.
Is that right?
Yep.
He gave us the privilege of prayer. So therefore he blesses prayer. And answers prayer. Amen?
Yes.
God's not bound or limited to the works of men's hands. He don't need none of us or nothing we do to work. If he wants to do something, he could do it without all any of us if he wanted to. Amen. Now, he does take us and use us. But don't ever get so arrogant as to think, buddy, that you're the missing piece. That you're the engine that runs the car, buddy, and it'd never go without you. He could put you on the shelf or me on the shelf tomorrow and put somebody else in the seat, buddy, and go right on and do everything you want to do.
Sure.
Amen. So just be careful don't fall in that arrogance, think it's all you. It's not. It's you by the grace of God. Amen. Is that right?
Right.
But I say, verse 18, had they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation will I anger you. Now let's look at this in context now. This is talking about the prophets. When he's talking about, have they not heard? I believe he's talking about the nation of Israel. He's holding up their own prophets in front of them now.
Yes,
he said, didn't Moses say this? Yes. What about the next verse? He said, but Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now, we know that he's talking about the Gentiles. But the question is, did they not believe? Have they not heard? Did Israel not know? But Keith, they had the prophets. Isaiah and Moses and David and all of them spoke of the coming Messiah. They should have known, Brother Todd, that the Savior was coming. And they should have known more about His work than what they did. But they took the Word of God, just like in the time when the Lord finally came, those Pharisees had already got to the point in their mind, in their heart, where they had rejected the Word of God and made their traditions supreme and primary over the Word of God. That's why they missed it. Have they not heard? Yes, they heard. Should they not have known? Yes, they should have known.
Yeah.
But their flesh got into it, Brother Todd, and when he came, he wasn't what their flesh wanted him to be. They wanted a king who was going to literally run the Romans out of the country and sit on the throne and make them the superior country over the whole world and be the big shots in an earthly kingdom. That's what they were desiring. But Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. Is that what he said? Is that what he said, Ms. Camille? But he said, the kingdom's already here. And it's in you.
That's right.
Amen. That's the real kingdom.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Is that the Lord don't need a White House to wait to be elected.
No.
He's already on the throne. He's already higher and greater and of more authority than any human ruler will ever be. He don't need to bow to the ways of the world to seek our admiration and our love and our loyalty. He's got a kingdom, Brother Dennis, to offer us greater than any kingdom will ever stand on this earth, ruled by man. Have they not heard? Yeah. But they didn't really hear. Remember the Bible tells us, says hearing, but they've not heard. Because they had not ears to hear. Is that right? They didn't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. Just like this day and time, Brother Dennis, they want somebody to tickle their ears and tell them sweet things that the flesh likes. And if you tell them spiritual truth, they'll mark you and reject you as a Pharisee. But they're the Pharisees. They don't even know what the definition of the word Pharisee is. A Pharisee is not somebody that's determined to live a life of holiness and declare what God said. A Pharisee, somebody rejects what God said in favor of their own tradition. But just like the devil always, he flips it backwards, wants to flip it on everybody. Is that right? But to Israel, he says, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient gainsaying people. And that gainsaying means just mockers. People just mock and backbite and say hateful things about it and refuse to believe. They'll gobble up, brother, they'll gobble up heresy, son, like a fat man gobble up steak. But they'll reject the truth. Is that right? I got news for you. The world today is the same way. Is that right? They will not call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because they don't believe. Jesus said, you cannot come to me because you won't believe. That's what he said. Brother Dennis, that truth hit your heart that night sitting there before you got moved that altar. You believed if you could just get up there and call out to him that he'd make it all right, didn't you? You was already believing. That's what the book says. Then he called upon the name of the Lord. You ain't going to call upon somebody that you don't trust. That's what that's teaching. It's just that simple. It's that simple, Brother Robert. Is that right? Brother Robert Parker, his kids, if they want something, they're going to ask him why. That's daddy. They know he loves them. And they know if he can do it for them, he'll do it. They wouldn't come up to me and ask me. I'm Brother Danny. I mean, they like me. They talk to me. But I don't think they ain't going to come to me. They're going to go to daddy. I need something as a child of God. I got a lot of people I consider friends, but I got sense enough to know God taught me a little something. They're just like me. We're limited. Cool. You're limited. Cool. Now, if I'd ask Brother Keith for a favor, and if he could do it for me, he would. I know he would. He has before. I've tried to be a good friend to him. But there's going to be times we're limited. We just can't do what the other needs. So who are you going to go to? Your daddy. Your heavenly Father. That's what that means. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He's got everything you need. You need to be saved this morning? If you'll just believe he can do it for you and you call out to him, he'll do it. Is that right, Brother Dennis? You already a child of God this morning? You got something ain't right in your life? You got a need? You got something ain't right? Maybe some of your family's going down the wrong way? Hey, do you believe God can fix it? Call upon the name of the Lord. Simple. Simple lesson this morning. No matter what we stand in need of, Brother Todd, God's got it. He owns it all. And He's got all power to do all things, and He always does right. And buddy, I'm glad I know that in my heart. I'm glad He taught me that, Brother Jonathan. Amen. He taught me that. And boy, I'm glad He put that in my heart, Miss Camille. Is that right? We've all been through some tough times, some of us recently. We're still here and we're making it. Why? Is that right? Amen. Amen. Brother Keith, would you pray for us?